Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, they cheated me. They totally cheated me.
They cheated you. Sounds really muddled.
Welcome to Living Astrology with host Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and human design consultant. And
new intro!
Welcome to Living Astrology's Halloween Lore, Tarot, and Astrology Show with host Janet Hickox and co-host Jason Levanis. Now enjoy the show!
Like a cosmic slap in the face to steal your thunder when you're ready to open your show. Hello, everybody. That was... I wish that was perfect, Jason. I wish I could laugh like that because I thought it was going to be great to have a Halloween intro.
I thought we were having a new Halloween intro, and I'm like, okay.
Dang it.
I love it.
It's just... there's just something sometimes with this blog talk. I mean, God love them and, you know, bless them for all the work they do. But I can't seem to get the chat to work ever anymore. And which means that the people who log in to want to, you know, chit chat behind the scenes, I can't see them. So I can't talk to them.
Wow.
And now I can't get my correct intros to play. Yeah.
Oh, well.
And
it's all right. Yeah. You know what? At the end of the day, happy Halloween-y. I'm very excited about today's show with you.
It is going to be fun.
So let us, before we get on with anything else, I have people that are filling up the queue, and because you told, you sent the word out that the show perhaps would be top-heavy on the tarot because of its relationship with Halloween, I wanted people to know how to get in touch with you if they don't get heard in the queue, or if they would like to get in touch with you for a private reading. How would they do that?
Oh, they can go to email me at Janet. Janet at living-astrology.com, or they can go to my website, www.living-astrology.com, and find out the different types of readings and so forth that are there. I did take down 4 people's information for readings today, so I hope to get through that. And we'll also get through some tarot readings. I think maybe, you know, we could just dump most of our energy today into doing readings if that was fun for people, and talk a little bit about Halloween and some of the interesting information that I dug up on it with its astrological connotations, which I had no idea about, go figure, and some of the tarot things that I was filling you in on earlier.
You know, I have to tell you, it's become an incredible experience for me in the last month or two working with you, because the show, it forces us to not be lazy. And there are areas that I never thought I might investigate had it not been for, oh, crap, we're doing a Halloween show. You better find something to talk about Halloween. No, I mean that. You know, it keeps you from being lazy, Janet. And it's great, because for all those that don't know, I'm here in New Jersey and you're out in Washington State. So we do this across the country.
That's right.
That being said, are we going to jump into the show on a scenario, or would you like to talk about the number 13 or getting rid of warts and molds on one's face?
Oh, that's too funny. I think we're going to start with the idea of some of the Halloween lore. You know, originally the holiday wasn't called Halloween. It was originally the name of the holiday was called Samhain, which is also sometimes pronounced Samhain. So you may have seen it spelled. It's S as in Sam, A-M-H-A-I-N. But it is an ancient Celtic holiday. In fact, it was called Feast of the Dead. And Samhain also loosely translates to summer's end. So we have Feast of the Dead, we have the idea of summer's end, but essentially this is the high holiday. This was the major festival for the pagans and the Wiccans and the Druids. And Of course, it became Christianized as time went on, as the Christian religion imprinted up and over the pagan and the Wiccan religions, the ancient religions. But essentially, guess what this holiday was? It was the New Year.
I'm listening.
This was the witch's New Year. So we are celebrating on Halloween the thinning of the veils between the dead and the living, and the entry of our cycle into the new year. So now that's three different new years that we have gone through times, right? Because we've got this ancient Celtic new year, which was Samhain, and then we have our January 1st. I would love to look up the history of that and find out how we got shifted to that. And then also the astrological new year, which begins in the first day of spring. So we have three new years.
I didn't realize that. I had no idea. I really didn't know it. That's the first day of the astrological new year is in spring?
Yeah. Yep, 0 degrees Aries. 0 degrees Aries is the opening day of the astrological new year, as everything for astrology begins with the spring. Now, this was also considered in the ancient times, in the Celtic times, through the Celtic people, that they really only celebrated two seasons. One was winter, which is what Halloween or Samhain was for them, as well as their new year. And it actually was like autumn, winter, and then spring, summer, which begins with Beltane, which is May 1st, which we've been Christianized into as May Day. May 1st, May Day, you know, we're tisket a tat, get a green and yellow basket kind of thing. So we've had, you know, we have these interesting sort of ancient connections to holidays that have been, you know, kind of imprinted over by the Christian religion that, you know, sort of made us forget what some of these things were. And, you know, Samhain actually represented the dying off and the rebirth of life on earth. It was very earth-centered. It was very natural in its representation. And I actually looked up something called the Witch's Wheel or the Wheel of the Year. It's called the Wheel of the Year. And then my computer went through a restart, so I don't have it on my screen anymore. But essentially, the Wheel of the Year for witches or for in the Wiccan and pagan religions was anchored by Samhain as the entryway into the new year. And then the Beltane, which would be the exact opposite of that. And then the celebration of Imbolc, which would be in February. And then what is that other one? Yule in December. So that anchored their cross quarters. Right. And then in between, they had other celebrations that would be like the halfway point of these seasonal cross quarters. And so it was really interesting to look at that wheel. In fact, I may just look it up again just to look at it because it was really beautifully done. I actually put it up on Pinterest. So if anybody wants to go to look at the symbols on Pinterest, they can look up Janet Hickox and there it would be. But so they had a totally different way of celebrating and certainly different holidays and different ways of being in those holidays.
Which is obviously earth-based and seasonal-based, being connected to the earth and the land, which, you know, many religions and tribal scenarios have. You know, you look at the American Indians, you look at any of the indigenous people around the earth, they are connected to the earth in this capacity. I wanted, before we got crazy into it, I wanted to tell the listeners, if they are ever interested in a really wonderful, entertaining read, there's a book from, I believe it was in the 60s, and I read it when I was very young, and I still to this day remember it. It was Diary of a Witch by Sybil Leek. And if any of you old, you know, people, the old-timers like me, remember She was actually a personality. I believe she was on Johnny Carson and some of the other talk shows, but she was a modern-day witch. And she really spoke to the healing and how important witches were in society at one point before all the, you know, mishigas went on. But again, the name of that book is Diary of a Witch, and it was one of the best, one of the most entertaining reads because she demystified it, and you really felt like you were talking or listening to just, you know, your next-door neighbor. And she is very amusing, very interesting, and she became a celebrity for a hot minute back in her day.
Wow.
That also, yeah, really, it's a wonderful book. She also wrote one or two others after. I never got around to them, but A Diary of a Witch. So for all of you individuals out there listening that want to have a nice read for Halloween, I highly recommend that book if you can still find it.
Yeah.
So that's my little input on that.
Now, you know, of course, that, you know, Halloween and the idea of Halloween and even the fact that we're talking about witches probably make some people out there tingle with fear, because this was all sort of thrust upon as the Christian religion overcame the Wiccan or the earth religions. Of course, they were made to be evil or, you know, something that you would get persecuted for, you know, hung, drowned, whatever they crossed or, you know, what was that called, drawn and quartered. So there's a lot of fear around this holiday. But in ancient days, this time was really very much highly celebrated. They called this their high holiday. And in the ancient days, this was very much a time of chaos. So when we get the idea of trick or treat, this was the time of the chaos and reversal of normal, what they call a plague of trickery, right? They would block up people's chimneys, or they would take people's cattle and lead them off somewhere.
Huh.
They would throw cabbage at the nobles and so on. So they had all these funny things that they did that were the tricks. And at some point, things kind of got out of hand. And I think that's where, you know, they end up, you know, sort of like calming things down. And eventually it becomes only half of the holiday, basically, that it was ever meant to be. And that's because now it's basically just the commercial idea of Halloween, which is, you know, going door to door, asking for candy and that kind of thing. But the ancient Druids also participated in Samhain. And get this, for them, a Samhain, they would have a sheaf of corn or a branch of an evergreen tree or mistletoe that symbolically carried on the dying powers of vegetation and the rebirth of that same vegetation. So what does that sound like, right? Evergreens, mistletoe, the same things that we do now at the Christmas season leading up to our New Year. So I thought it was kind of interesting. And mistletoe was actually believed to carry the soul of the tree, because it, you know, it clings to the trees. So it was a demonstration, of course, that life didn't die and that it would be rebirthed as they moved into the spring and the summer months. So fun stuff there. Are you there, Jason? Am I here? I am here. Okay, perfect. So I'm going to go on to the astrological connotations, because as I kind of led people to think here earlier, there was something really interesting that I learned about the astrology of this time. Now, you know, of course, Halloween falls right at the beginning of the sign of Scorpio, October 23rd. Actually, we walk into the Scorpio time of year, and Halloween less than a week later or is still in Scorpio territory. This time was also bracketed by the rising of the Pleiades on the equinoctial point, which means opposite of the sun on Halloween. So the mythology of the Pleiades, of course, is all about the seven sisters. They're very spiritual, and they were favorites of the gods, and so they were placed in the sky, which is really in the shoulder of the bull, Taurus, and so. Part of the whole mythology of Halloween is there, as from an astrological standpoint, it's the rising of the Pleiades as the sun is setting. So as the sun is setting in the western horizon, the Pleiades are rising on the east. And of course, the Pleiades are also known for their fixed star Alcyon, which, you know, one day I think you and I need to do a show on some of the fixed stars, because they're kind of fascinating. As in, some of them are considered to be evil, some of them are considered to be benefic, and Alcyon sort of plays a dual role in, which is, you know, sometimes he plays this evil role, and other times he is a star that brings good things, all depending on where it falls in your astrology chart. So I thought that was fun. But of course, the main news is that, of course, this is the time of Scorpio. And Scorpio is, you know, the witches at Samhain and the people that practice the Wiccan religion were very aware that this time of year was a great time for doing things like divination, tarot card readings. I don't know that they did astrology readings at that point in history, but of course, if they could, it would be another gateway for them to be able to foretell the future. So this time of year is very high on the list of times where there's a real openness to being able to receive the energy of divination. So, and that has to do with Scorpio, which rules things like prophecy and divination and intuition, but also that whole death and birth recycling kind of energy, right? The transformational death leads to birth and so on. And then another thing about Scorpio energy is that idea of secrecy, right? Scorpios are great at keeping secrets, and they
I had two Scorpion parents 4 days apart from each other, and you could not be more true with that statement.
Well, and didn't you always get a sense that there was more going on beneath the surface than what they were telling you on the surface? Like there's sort of an unreadability sometimes about Scorpio. It makes Geminis like me very uncomfortable. It's a 90-degree angle from my sign. And so I kind of like back off a bit because I'm not sure what I'm reading. I can't read them very easily. But there's also, they are also involved with the taboos, like the taboos that we hold as a society or a culture come through the eighth house, come through the sign of Scorpio in the horoscope, and also then has a connotation to the underworld, that traveling through the underworld, bringing back the gift, and then coming back out to the world. So it's really interesting there. And then, of course, now I also looked up then what the tarot cards for Scorpio were. So this is where you come in, because as we were talking before the show, there's some really interesting connotations between tarot and astrology. And in this case, the death card is very much Scorpio territory, right? So if witches were going to be doing readings and the death card would show up, instead of it literally meaning death, it would often mean a process of rebirth or transformation. Is that similar to what you would consider it now?
Let's say that our cameras are very similar, are the same, you and I. Our lenses are just a little different. I understand the lens you're using, but for instance, when I pull the 13th card, which I think is interesting, that 13th, you know, that number, that taboo number, the number of no floors. Yes, that number of no floors in the office buildings. The card of death really is more of a card, in, especially in my deck, of warning, as opposed to the tower card, which we'll discuss next, which is oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. And I mean that literally. When people, when people ask me, you know, like, so what's the worst card in the tarot? I'm like, to be honest with you, a metaphysician would look at you and say, there are no bad cards. I think that's a lot of crap. Because every time I've ever picked the tower card, it is not a warning. It is a definite that things are going to crap the bed. It is a definite that, for instance, you know that I did my very first reading for you with respect to a certain subject, which we're not going to get into. I'm like, God, I pulled the tower. And I almost, and interestingly enough, out of the 72 cards, I very rarely pull the tower. It really is a card saved for something different. But let's get back to the death card quickly. It definitely means transformation. But when I say it's a warning card, Janet, I mean it with respect to it being a microcosm. What do I mean? The death card helps you get rid of little ideologies, little deaths that are of the physical world that basically talk about just society. It talks about different aspects of your life, whether it be beauty, whether it be money, whether it be all of the worldly possessions. It basically speaks to those things to prepare you for the ultimate, quote, death on the macrocosm, so that hopefully when you close your eyes, you have become enlightened. You realize what is really important. So, yes, and the death card is all about being bitten immediately, feeling the pain. And a lot of times I will get this card when I'm talking to somebody who is in mental or physical pain, which is interesting because it's mostly about fear, this card. And
that makes sense.
How I will actually put it to you, having been an ex-opera singer, is this. In life, in art, in everything, in sex, in life, there is this rudimentary idea of tension and release. Tension and release. If I said to you, Janet, do re mi fa sol la ti, and then I just started talking to you about other normal things, in the back of your head, you're going, damn it, where's do? You're hearing. You know what I'm saying? You can't help but hear do. So what I want you to hear is that this card is the release to tension. So let's say you wanted to make money, we finally make money, and then you lose it. Oh, there's the release. You have fear about something and your anxiety about something, and then all of a sudden you break, there's the release. That's when the death card comes in. And it's kind of funny because the death card represents that old joke that I said to you a couple times. Why do I keep banging my head against the wall? Answer, because it feels so good when I stop. The answer is the death card. Because very often you'll find people running in circles, trying to bite their tail, and they don't realize that they're spinning their wheels. And when they finally get to the point where they deal with this pain, they deal with this fear, they get finished up. And then they can begin to look at other aspects of their life. So that's my little rundown for you on this death card. And if you look at my death card, there's this shaman-looking sort of Kali-like individual who's standing in the mouth of a cobra and he's being bitten. And it's because of that, there are all these flames around him. But at the center of his torso, there is a mouth that is open. And very interesting, the rest of the card is like hell. And, you know, it looks like something out of, the seven levels of hell by Dante. It looks like the Inferno in this card. But out of the center of his body is a mouth that's open and it's singing. And the only visually cool part of it is the breath coming out of this mouth that holds the dove of peace. So it signifies that, yes, you're going to have to go through a little bit of discomfort so that you can get the other side of pain, which is joy.
Nice.
That's that.
So the other two cards that we spoke about that were part of the whole Scorpio, this time of year kind of energies are based on the two rulers, the co-rulers, the co-ruling planets, if you will, of Scorpio, which are Mars in the more traditional sense and Pluto, which is the more modern co-ruler of Scorpio. And of course, Mars was attributed to the tower, the one that we were just talking about that really is a shakeup. Pluto represented by the card Judgment, which was interesting as you were telling me that your deck doesn't have a Judgment card. It had a different name. So tell us a little bit about that. And then we're going to get into reading.
Awesome. So let's attack card number 16. Now, you're far more astute with numerology. I don't know what the number 16 represents.
Well, it would actually be the number 7, which is actually a spiritual number. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very introspective, so meditative.
When we look at the tower, like I said, it is the one that when people tell me, hey, am I going to get married? And then I pull the tower and no. You know, hey, am I going to win the lottery? And then I pull the tower and it's like, no. So in this card for me, you'll see like a lot of the tower. Now, this talks about this transformation. It talks about this. Tower goes back, the transformation goes back to the time of the Tower of Babel. It goes back to since it began, the beginning of time. But what I think is interesting to note about this card is that it speaks to us with respect to society as a whole. In other words, on this particular card, there are flames coming out of it. There is a man, of course, falling from the tower to his, quote, death. Going back into the sea, the waters of sort of regenerative life and or hell. But what we see the tower in my deck is made up of are these television screens. And it's very interesting, the imagery that's on these television screens. There's one, there's a muscle god. There's a person that is there is money, there are other aspects, there's meditation, but what it speaks to is all of society's BS that we should have, you know, 2.5 children, we should have the certain car, we should have the, you know, designer this, the designer that, we should be living up to the Joneses. And this card very much speaks to how all of that societal muck seeps in and takes us away from nature, from our natural pulsations and rhythms of life. And that it's interesting because at the very, very top of the card is the all-seeing eye of God, which in this deck, careful, because all that has to happen is for that eye to blink. And in the blink of an eye, and in the blink of an eye, your life can change. I mean, I know this for a fact. For instance, a year ago, I had an accident, fell down the side of a mountain, and blink, my life was instantly changed. So it's important. I think what's interesting to see is that we think we're so evolved with more and more and more technology, when in fact, and I'm not poo-pooing technology, you know, I love my iPhone and all that sometimes. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we try to recreate grass, and what do we come up with? AstroTurf. You know, it's like, I'd rather just have grass, you know.
Yep.
So this card, the Tower, means it is, in fact, when they do those, the regenerations of the crop, you know, they have to burn certain crops so that the ground can regenerate. Well, this card represents that burning, that it is all going to go up in flames. It is all going to change in for you to grow. And that is what, so as opposed to a warning like the devil, this is a card of, guess what? It's happening. There is no warning. It is a definite. You are going to change whether you like it or not. And only, I'm going to read you the last line of the book very quickly. It says, we are on the verge of a great awakening that will require each of us to be true to our own experience and to the inspirations of nature, art, and friendship. Only faith can guide us through this time of great and difficult change. So that's the Tower card. Now, to switch gears, I love the last card. So it isn't, folks, all gloom and doom. But I like the fact that in this show, we're addressing some of the more challenging principles in Tarot because this idea that everything is good and wonderful or everything is bad and terrible is just not true. There is a yin and yang. There is a balance. So in the traditional Tarot, it's called the Judgment. But in my cards, it's called Emergence. And what's beautiful about it is that as opposed to the other two cards that are red and fiery and bombastic, this card is cool and blue. There is a figure in a cocoon, sort of fetal position in the foreground, slumbering. Then there is this beautiful white magnolia flower, and up above, you see that entity, like a chrysalis, like a butterfly coming from a chrysalis, has emerged from the chrysalis. And after the burnings, after the difficulties have come through, and he is this male butterfly with iridescent blue wings is cascading upwards and looking into the heavens and has emerged after coming through these difficult periods, after having done the work, after having gotten in touch with his spirit and soul. So, you know, just like the Judgment Day, you go on up and St. Peter's there with his Lucite clipboard. I'm sure that happens. And God knows I have two or three funny jokes, but I cannot tell them on the air right now. I'll tell you off the air. So the fact of the matter is that this Emergence card, which is one of the things that I found interesting, was you said it's the modern co-ruler of Scorpio. I don't know why you say, why is it the modern?
Because at the time that the original astrology was set up, there was no planet Pluto yet. We didn't discover Pluto until the 1930s. And so they wouldn't have had another planet to have as a ruler of anything. So
what I love about this, to wrap it up, and not to step on your thunder, but most people don't know that the original Egyptian name for Scorpio was not just Scorpio, right? What was it called?
Yeah.
Scorpio Phoenix. What does it mean? If you know anybody
yeah.
that's Scorpion, yeah, if you know any, there we go, right? So if you know anybody that is Scorpion, I'm going to, unless they have a lot of other influences in their chart, and they have something totally docile as a rising sign or a moon or blah, 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 every Scorpion that I have met has been a pisser. They are extreme people a lot of the times. They are people who are in. They are people that are intense. I made the joke about my parents that nobody in my family ever had a headache. It was never, oh, I have a simple headache. It was always, you know, I think I have a brain tumor. It was just like, really? Really, people? Come on. But what this card shows, it shows from that sort of fetal positioned individual into this gorgeous, glorious butterfly. The Scorpio is one of the most extreme signs, and they will bite their nose to spite their face. And what the sign of Scorpio does is it stings itself, killing itself, burns up, and from those ashes arise the great and powerful Phoenix. So
yep,
I love the
exactly.
fact that this is, you know, it all talks about this transformation. It talks about, you know, intuition. All of this stuff is very relevant. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
You stick to it. By the way, speaking
right.
of stories, as Jason was relating to us all of these wonderful tarot informational things, he is going to be doing his own show launching on November 16th. And Jason,
Yay.
What is the name of your wonderful new show?
I have decided to not be run-of-the-mill, if you can imagine that, and that most tarot card readers, in my opinion, are boring. So I'm calling my show Titillating Tarot. That's right. The alliteration, folks, Titillating Tarot with Jason Levanis. I'm going to be obscene and fun, and we're going to have a lot of laughs on it. And the lady who is going to be helping to produce it, do you know what her name might be?
Little old me.
Yeah, little
I'll
old you.
I'll be in the background.
And for anybody that's interested, they can get in touch with me, by the way, because I forgot to plug myself earlier on, at zenstaging@gmail.com. Zenstaging is one word, like Zen Buddhism, @gmail.com. My website is going to be up shortly at the behest of Miss Janet Hickox. And so I'm moving more full force with respect to doing transcontinental international readings, which is a lot of fun because we do it via
awesome.
Skype like you do. And so let's get to some of our callers, unless you have any other things that you'd like to get to.
Nope, let's get to callers. I think Mike
Wonderful.
Is up first. Let's see
All
if
right,
we
so
can bring him in.
Let me see where he is. Let me see where he is in the line. Yes, I've got Michael
him.
Here for you, and I will put
Hello.
Him in for you. Hi, Michael. You're on the air live with Janet.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
How's it going, Mike?
No complaints.
I love it.
No tumors
so what can
either.
I do for you today? No tumors? No headaches that are about to blow up into something huge?
Nope, not at all. No, I would be very open to a – I haven't had an astrological reading in a long time, so I'd be very open to that. And if you need a specific question, I can throw that in there as well.
Well, no, you know what I think I'll do is I think what I am going to look at is where Scorpio is in your chart, since we're in that Scorpio time of year. And actually, today we have a Sun-Mercury conjunction in Scorpio, which happens to be falling in the very last tail end of your first house. So it feels like there's a little bit of a personal transformation going on, like you're claiming your voice, like you are speaking your truth more and more as time goes on. Consequent to this is the fact that Jupiter today is sitting at your ascendant. So you're ready to walk into what feels like to me could be a whole new powerful growth cycle. So I feel like maybe your ebullience in this is also that you're intuiting this is also true. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Perfect. Now, the Sun and Mercury and also the Black Moon Lilith right now are sitting in Scorpio, and eventually they're going to pass out of that first house and into your second house of money. And I think sometimes Scorpio has this sort of double-edged sword when it relates to money. It technically represents the eighth house of money, the money that you earn from other people like spouses or government grants or, you know, debt and credit, those kinds of, you know, places, lottery winnings, all those kind of places that where you don't actually earn the money yourself. So it feels like in this case, if you're open to receiving, then there's flow. But if you block it in any way, like if you get in your own way here, then things could be like just totally the opposite. Lack of money, big expenses, money going out, not enough coming in. So I'd be very careful about, for at least these next several months, as Black Moon Lilith is going to sit here until well into the new year, that you be aware of your thoughts, what's going on in your head, right? What are you talking to yourself about as it relates to finances? Jason, was that you that cackled in the background? Did you pull a card for him?
No, I didn't actually, because what people, sometimes I tell people they don't know is that while I'm producing, when I go into the background to screen, I cannot hear anything you're saying. So I cackled because you were talking about the Scorpions hoo-ha, the Scorpions and their relationship to money. And I just laughed because I grew up in a challenging home money-wise, and I had two Scorpions as parents, so I was just like, yes, I know that trip altogether. So I haven't heard a thing you said to Michael, but I'm more than happy to pull a couple cards if he has a question.
I think it was not so much that he had a specific question, but why don't you just pull and see what the general atmosphere is for his life.
You got it. For your life. Michael, can I hear your voice for a moment?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Wonderful. And where are you calling in from, Michael?
I'm in California.
Wonderful. And the reason I did that is because I am vocally sensitive, so I like to hear the vibrations in your voice. Michael, behind you, I have the Ace of Cups. That's in the immediate past, which shows that pretty good, to be perfectly frank. It shows that you are, number one, wonderfully intelligent, and you have always had a good sense of spiritual guiding. It doesn't show that you've made a huge amount of money, but it shows that you have done okay for yourself. Now, what I love about you right now in the middle is that we have the third card, the Empress. She sends a dual message. If you move the accent, it says to impress. I'll bet you you're very good looking, extremely charismatic, full of life, and I'll bet you that when you walk into a room, all eyes are on you, and you don't really have to work that hard to impress people. And like I said, I haven't heard a thing from your voice other than your name. And the other part of it says, right now, it asks you the question, Michael, are you being lazy? Are you taking care of business, Michael, or are you sitting on your laurels? Are you afraid to move left or right? Are you right now dealing with some kind of hesitance?
It's funny you say that. Yes, and it kind of goes back to the astrological reading as well. So I just did I have a business proposal that's been brought to me, so which is going to be fantastic. Also, too, I just did my first psychic fair a couple weeks ago, so I'm kind of, again, I don't have a website, anything like that. Friends have been on me about that and kind of going in that direction as well. So you were accurate in the description in the beginning.
Wonderful. Okay. So let me ask you a quick question. So you yourself are a medium, you're a psychic?
Yeah, it kind of opened up in 2010 and just been kind of working on it.
Fantastical. So I'm going to tell you four things that came through like a screen, scrims. If anybody knows what a scrim is in the theater, there are these large pieces of material like backdrops that come through, and if they're lit from behind, you can see what's going on behind the scenes. If they're lit from in front, you can't see what's going on behind. I don't know whether you're a Cancer. I don't know what your sign is. I don't care, because the 18, the Moon card, comes up in the future for you. Now, Cancers, our psychic friends, these are the women they are on. A lot of times when I see this card, it tells me to tell you, be careful of your addictions, be careful of being out of your body, Be careful of your altered states. So I want to tell you that a couple things right off the bat. I want you to make sure you're doing some kind of protective and or closing off of your energies when you are going into large groups of psychic scenarios. There's a lot of, how do I put this politely, Janet? There's a lot of shit going on around some of these people, and it says, like, in the Bible, as in heaven, so on earth. Not everybody you're going to come across is a highly elevated soul. Not everybody you're going to come across is really zipping along on the levels of Buddha, Jesus, Jehovah, any of the ascended Lord Master. So this card is saying to you, in the future, your job is to psychically protect yourself. Your job is to, and I'm going to give you a little past life stuff because I'm talking to you and I'm getting some centers opened up. I will tell you that right now, apropos this, I know this is going to sound hokey, but apropos this television show, you have spent more than one lifetime as a pagan, as a witch. And that being said, I want you to know that for you, start paying attention specifically to the cycles of the moon. If you have questions about that, because I really don't know my ass from my elbow about any of that, Janet is the person to go to for that. Start paying attention to the moon and manifesting what it is in your life that you want with respect to the cycles of the moon. Your past lifetime involvement as a pagan is going to come to you hardcore and open up your chakras for this psychic ability to really become gangbusters. And right now they just showed me a Ghostbusters X in my mind saying the door is closed. I hope that that reading made sense to you.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, and I can back that up with his astrology because he's got his Neptune retrograde at 29 degrees of Scorpio. So truly someone who is here to in some way pay back the world by doing readings, pay back the people of the world, the collective even, by doing intuition type readings or divinatory readings.
Janet, I have to tell you, very funny, I was shuffling the cards to get ready for the next person, and every once in a while, Janet, when I'm shuffling, a card will literally pop out of the deck. So here I am, like, oh, damn it, a card popped out. I had to move over my chair, and I had to pick up the card. The card, Michael, that they want you to hear is the Ten of Cups. It is the most glorious, one of the most glorious cards in the entire Arcana for money, wealth, and spiritual growth. So, dude,
the happily ever
get on
after
the
card.
Yeah. Get on the stick, do your work, and go full stream ahead.
Nice.
Wow.
There you go, Michael. Whole new world for you right now.
Yeah, no, I kind of got the feeling with this new business opportunity that's about to be more presented is a big part of that as well as the gift. So I'm pretty stoked.
Nice. Well, thank
Fantastic.
You so much for waiting to come in today. And I hope to hear from you again.
Wonderful.
All right.
Thank you both so much.
I'm going to put you back in the queue, Michael, and I send
Please.
You all of the best.
Thank you so much.
All right. Janet, I would love to bring in to you now Laurel.
Okay. Hello, Laurel.
Hi, Laurel.
Hi.
Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello. How are you?
How's it going? We're good.
Good.
We're good. We're
good.
Obviously on a roll here today. So tell
Thanks.
Us what can we help you with today? Laurel? Did we lose
Hello?
It?
Hello?
Laurel?
Yes.
Oh, she got...
Hello?
Sorry.
I'm
Hello?
So sorry about that. That was all my fault.
Okay.
Well, we'll just blame it on him, even if it wasn't his fault. So tell me, what can we help you with today?
I'm just wondering if I'll find true love, you know, get married, fall in love.
Well, I'll tell you what, honey, you have 1, 2, 3, 4 planets in the 7th house of marriage. And when I see that, you know, my first instinct when I see lots of planets there is, oh, God, yes, this person's going to get married. But as I've observed with people, it's, by the way, 444 here on the West Coast. So this is awesome. I like triple digit numbers. It's validation. Is that you have a lot to learn about relationships. And it's very distinctly possible that, in fact, your sun and it looks, the sun for you is in Libra. while Mercury, Pluto, and Uranus, the other three planets in the seventh house of marriage or partnerships or relationships, is in Virgo. So there's some parts of you that have to become whole here in order to be
yep.
able to be real in a relationship. Now, this is not a bad thing because your Chiron is in the first house, and you are, let's see, you must be, what, 52, 51? Did you turn 51 or 52 this year?
52.
There you go. So you're at a point now of healing the wound of your own personal self. And so I believe now you'll be able to attract more of relationship type things into your life. The moon is also for you sitting in the fifth house of love and romance. So I guess here it really shows that you want somebody to love you, to take care of you, and that you can also love and take care of. There's just these other little parts of you that you got to work with first, right? Know who you are, be your own best friend, and claim your own authority in your life, and then relationships become a whole lot easier for you. Does that make sense?
Yes. Uh-huh. It does.
Okay. Great. And, you know, one of the other things I see, and I always hesitate to bring this up, but Jupiter is in your seventh house, transiting through the sign of Libra. It's already passed over the sun for you, so it's already opened you up to this. I wouldn't be too surprised if love isn't somewhere in the near future here for you. That's just my personal opinion. Yeah.
Okay. Well.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, good, Laurel.
Would you like a little input, madam?
I would love it. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm a little – I like to call Janet Good – here we go. I like to call Janet Good Cop. And, yeah. And I call myself Bad Cop. So, darling, are you ready to get an earful?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Not uh-oh, but it's time to breathe and pay attention, please.
Okay.
The first card in the past for you shows the Seven of Discs. It is a dark and murky cloud card that talks about secrets or not looking at oneself honestly, having unrealistic expectations of oneself and other people, but secrets, not bringing your best game forward, not being totally honest with yourself in the past. Now, we have a good story coming. We have a good story coming forward, however. Janet, help me because of my Alzheimer's mind here. Do you remember we did a relationship show a couple weeks back? What was the lady's name?
Lisa Copeland.
Okay, so, sweetheart, I want you to contact Janet when we're off the air at her, at her email. And she
email.
Can tell you the name again. Yes, at her email, which is janet@living-astrology.com. And tell her who you are, and she's going to give you this lady's name again. I think it's apropos that you are 50-plus, and the Four of Wands in the present come up, and it shows that you're going to have to do some work to reap the fruits of your labor. But now is the time. You're ready to do the time. And this woman is a professional dating coach. She tells one of the biggest things she said was, do not date your type. I will bet sure as shit that in the past you have looked for your type and it hasn't done you any good. So right now in the present, Four of Wands says you got to do some work. You got to plant some seeds in order to reap the fruits of your labor in the future. And I'm going to say, if you contact this woman, I will say to you within the next 4 months, as soon as 4 months, things will start to open up for you because the Ace of Swords comes to you. And I'm also going to say that the man that comes to you, this is just my opinion, is going to be blonde hair, blue eyed, and he's going to talk the truth. You're not going to always like what he has to say. You might find him somewhat difficult, but I have a feeling this is the man you're going to be looking for because he's going to be telling you the truth because you want, your spirit, your soul wants the truth. So those are the cards I picked for you. I send you blessings and lots of love, fun Halloween season, and that's what I have to say on the subject.
Thank you.
Woo-hoo. You are welcome.
Tell me the email again, please, one more time.
It's Janet, J-A-N-E-T, at living-astrology.com. And then I will send you Lisa's information and connect you with her.
So, Laurel,
thank
I'm going to put
so
you
much.
Back in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you are so welcome. I'm going to put you back in the queue and enjoy the rest of the show. Janet, I have for you next Lady Shannon, who would like to speak with you. I'm going to bring her in. Hiya, Shannon. You're live on the air now with Janet.
Hello, you two. How are you?
Good, Shannon. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you. Thank you.
Good, good.
Oh.
So, your email, you had said that you would like to have a reading with Jason. So, Jason.
I would.
Do you have a question for him?
Ooh. Hi, Jason. Yes, that would be wonderful.
Hi, Jason. Tell me, what is it that you're looking for some clarity on? Do you have a specific subject?
I do. So right now, it's career oriented.
All right.
Janet.
Stop right there.
Yes.
I don't want to know anymore. Thank you very much. We're going to talk to you a little bit
you.
About your. We're going to talk. And I know, you know what's so funny, because I get off the air and Janet's like, you got to let people talk. You and your defined Aj.
I love that.
All right.
No, I love that. I've been listening from the get-go. I'm here in Rhode Island. This is perfect. There's so much stirring in the pot, and there's so much energy.
Wonderful. Can I have your age, please?
Sure, 30. Just turned 30.
Okay. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here it goes. This is a total mix. Mixed bag reading, but I love it. So I want you to hold on to your hernia belt, okay?
I will. I'm going to write it down also.
All right. So I'll try and speak really slowly. No, actually, you know, to all of our listeners
just
out
be
there.
You.
To all of
just
our listeners out there, you can go back to every show that we've done. It is, I believe, saved, and it's on the site, so you can listen to it. Now,
okay.
Shannon. In the past with work, actually, the Nine of Discs comes up. And what I love about it is it's like there's a guardian spirit on top. She's a full-breasted, big-boned gal, and she's in a rainbow, and she's got these wonderful emeralds below her, which means business hasn't been that shitty for you. It's been actually quite good if you look at the whole scheme of things, and that you've always been looked out for. That either things have just fallen into place, or it's been kismet, or it's been a good situation. Now, there's always that poopy, cocky duty fly in the ointment. And it's interesting. It is interesting because at present, the Three of Swords comes up, and 9 times out of 10, this card comes up for sadness, sorrow in a relationship, like a partner. I don't know what kind of business you are involved in or whatever, but right now I'm going to go out on a limb and say that your business or your career is almost like a partner to you. Does that make any sense?
It does. It's a partner to my life. Yes. Yes. So I,
okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the
it
fact
does.
Of the matter,
it does.
And right now surrounding that, there's a certain amount of sadness, sort of like mourning the death of something, not sure about whether I want to pick up and continue with something. But what I have to tell you is the Three of Swords turns around in the immediate future and becomes the Three of Cups. Now, the Cups meaning wealth. The Cups meaning happiness. And what I want to tell you about what's going on with career for you is pay attention to what I'm going to tell you. I don't know whether you're looking for another job. I don't know whether people are looking for you, but in the Three of Cups, we have three nymphs that are dancing in gold inside each one of these cups, and each one of these nymphs is holding on to each other. Very often in human design, Janet talks about community, talks about working well with others, listening to people, not putting your foot in it, waiting for the universe to give you the right thing to think about, not think about, excuse me, I take that back, Janet, to respond to. But I'm going to tell you that whatever comes next business-wise, I don't see you owning your own business. And if it does, it's not the gut feeling I get. I see you working with people where you are an integral part of a team and that you're all codependent, interdependent on each other, and that your input is going to be vital to whatever business it is that you're doing. May I ask what's your field, what's your line of work?
Oh my goodness. So right now I'm not working. I was doing social media work before. I've nannied. I've worked for a nonprofit.
Okay. Yes. I want you to get your beautiful ass out there and make sure people physically see you, that you're not behind a computer, you're not a faceless name. I need you to be in front of people, making physical I don't mean this because everybody, God forbid, nobody touches anybody in the workplace, but in other words, to be physically there, they need to see you. They need to hear your laughter. They need to see your smile. They need to look at your bright eyes. People are going to want to have you around. But what you need to do is realize that whatever you become part of, you're going to be part of a team. Do you understand?
I do.
So I see things happening. So stop being sad because you're unemployed. You know, get down off the cross. We need the wood. Stop it. Let it go. Flush it down the toilet. Be done with it. Look forward and know that your Three of Swords is going to be very soon changed to the Three of Cups. And I promise you, stuff is going to come out of the universe. But you've got to pay attention. You can't be going around saying, oh, I've been unemployed for so long.
Exactly.
And I'm going to eat some worms and die.
No. No way.
No. I want you to do yourself a favor. Do something that makes you feel good about yourself. Continue to work out, because I get the sense that maybe you're not working out. Is that correct?
I am. I work out every day, but I've been, my late night eating habits have been manifesting. Yeah, everything's manifesting.
I want you to make sure that you're continuing to feel good about your physical self, because that's going to really get your mojo going. All right.
It does, completely.
All right. Wonderful. And that is my three-card reading for you with respect to your career.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you called in today, Shannon.
I am so glad as well. Yes.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm sure I'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, you will.
Shannon, I'm going to put you back into the into the queue. And, of course, you can get in touch with me for a more in-depth reading, if you like, at thezenphasing@gmail.com. And it has been an absolute honor and pleasure to give you a reading this evening.
Thank you both. Thank you, Jason.
You're both welcome.
Thank you for being you, too. I appreciate it. I appreciate it so much.
All right.
I will be in touch with you, Jason.
Okay.
So, kind lady Janet, it's kind of dealer's choice. Or let's see, we've got, oh, my God, we only have 3 minutes left.
We do. So here's what I'm thinking,
my God.
Jason. I can stay on for a little bit afterwards today. And anybody that's in the queue right now, if you don't hang up, you will still be listening to the show because it goes into automatic record. It won't be live anymore, but we could probably blow through this queue a bit if everybody's game to stay on here. So,
well, I'm game to hang out with you. You know that I've already eaten dinner, so we're good. So I'm more than happy to stay on with you if you like. Go.
Because I have two people who are waiting for readings, Karen and Gigi. So at least Karen and Gigi, don't hang up. And, of course, Jason, don't hang up. And I won't hang up. But when we go over, it'll just be in record mode. So I would like it if you'd bring Karen in for me.
Absolutely. And for everybody out there, I want them to hear, thank you, Janet, for everything you've done for me and for allowing me to give readings. So,
oh, I love it.
Here we go.
You
here's,
are awesome.
Here's Karen. Hello.
Karen.
Hello.
Hi
there, Miss Karen.
For taking my call. Hello. My question is if you see, I'm looking for work right now. And I'm wondering if you see, I have a lot of resumes out. I just had a phone interview. I wasn't selected. And then I had another two applications out, but I wasn't accepted for those two jobs either. But I do have a lot of applications out.
Well, I have good news for you. Something spectacular out of the blue, at least unexpected, is going to be happening here for you that leaps you forward. Because Jupiter, the planet of growth and expansion, today is sitting 1 degree away from Uranus in your 10th house of career. And Uranus brings surprises. It brings an awakening at times. So when you least expect it, the job that you prayed and prayed that you might want but didn't know if you would get, maybe one that you've already gotten turned down for, turns around and comes back to you. I'm not sure exactly the quality of the surprise, but I know there is something wonderful and it will be a surprise for you. All you must do, and this is the easy part, hopefully, is keep your eye on the prize. What do you want, right? Network the feeling of when you have that wonderful, perfect job, you're working with the most wonderful, perfect people. What does that feel like? And send that out, that energy out away from you so that it becomes attractive. And it becomes almost like a magnet bringing that perfect job to you. This is almost equivalent to maybe something in the same vein that happened maybe 12 years ago, because that would be the last time that Jupiter would have been on top of Uranus in your chart. So that could have been a surprise job loss that opened up the doorway to something else. But since right now it doesn't sound like you're actually, you know, working at your perfect job, then this might be the door that opens you up to that perfect job. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Yes, very much.
Yeah,
very
so I would say be prepared for a surprise, and I would say be prepared for a good surprise. When I say that, I don't take this lightly. This is, I, you know, if you've listened to me on the radio before, I don't usually just jump out and tell people that expect that, but I kind of see that here in your chart. And on top of that, the sun is in the 11th house in your chart right now. Scorpio sits, you know, sort of in that, partially in the 10th, but mostly in the 11th, and when the sun moves through the 11th house, it's called the house of wishes. And this is a time where you can powerfully create, powerfully manifest what it is you desire in your life. So be very careful what your thoughts are on. Because if your thoughts are on the bad things, things you don't want, you have an equal chance of creating those. So keep your mind on what you do want. Does that make sense to you too?
Yes, exactly.
There you go. And you will get
like
this.
I
just don't see how it couldn't happen for you.
Go ahead. And I only pulled one card for you, sweetheart, and I want you to know it's kind of funny because this is a card that is so wonderful and fun. It's the Seven of Cups, and it can be called the card of chaos. However, when you look at my card, it is a fun. I want you to make sure you go to as many parties as you can go to. I want you to go to as many public events as you can go to. I don't care whether it's a reading at the library. I don't care if it's at a symphony. I don't care. I want you to be out among people because this unexpected event I feel is going to happen when you are hanging out with a large group of people. If people are inviting you to parties, do not sit home. Go. If you are able to get out, I'm serious. If you are able to get out and be around crowds of people in some kind of a social setting, do that because somebody through the conversation is going to say, I know somebody who needs someone exactly like you. So this card shows all of the resumes that you sent out and how chaotic that can feel, track of it. But on the other hand, it shows that you're going to get something. You're going to be approached by someone in a crowd or in a group setting. And that's what this card means. It's going to literally pop out, just the way Janet said.
Nice. I love Uranus is such a wonderful planet because he releases us from trials and tribulations. He releases us from the places where we've been chained. Now, sometimes we don't like that, right? But in the end, when we look back, we go, wow, that was the awakening. That was the point that I woke up. And that's what's about to happen here for you.
Okay. I'll start getting scared. Keep
All
going.
Right, get
okay.
prepared,
Thank
Karen.
You.
And
Thank
guess what? You're Karen. I want you to call us in a couple of weeks and let us know what happens, okay?
Oh, I will. I have your email address, both you guys. Thank you so
much. Okay, perfect.
Thank you.
You're most
I'm
welcome.
I'm going to put you back
Thank
in
you.
The queue, and I'm going to bring in Gigi for you now, all right? So I guess this will be our last individual today.
Oh, I guess, unless we want to just go down the line and see what else anybody else wants.
I'm game. So, Gigi, are you there, sweetheart?
I am. Hey, Jason. Hey, Karen. Janet.
You got to take good care. Janet, you got to take care of my girl here because she's a Brooklynite. She's one of my neighbors.
Is she really?
Well, actually, Jason, I actually live in California, just so I can be totally transparent here. I live in California because I was born and raised in Brooklyn.
That makes you doubly attractive because Janet is a California girl herself. So you've got two sweet spots now.
Yeah, I usually don't claim that I was from California, but I actually was born and raised there and went to school there. And lived there, had my first two kids in California.
Why?
So
what's wrong with California? I can imagine if you didn't want to admit that you were from, like, Florida. But
no,
why?
But get this. When I first moved to Washington, if you were from California,
yeah,
they called you a Californicator because Californians were moving to the state by the droves and buying up the property and causing the property values to increase because in California you could sell
dirty.
A house for $300,000 and $400,000, which meant you could buy a whole lot bigger house here in Washington. So people were like just pissed. So
well,
I
your California roots are safe with me, Janet.
All right.
Thank you. And it's not so much the case
Janet,
anymore, by the way.
So, Janet, what do you have? What do you have chart-wise for Gigi? And Gigi, what do you need to know today?
I would also like to know about career.
Career. So, what do you do right now?
Well, I work part-time as a nanny, and I'll leave it at that. It's definitely up for improvement, and you know, taking the next steps. In really living authentically.
Right. Well, here's some good news for you. As time goes on here, and it may not happen right away, so it's not like Uranus is involved for, like, you know, Karen, our last caller, where this is imminent, but this is coming for you, and that is Jupiter's moving through your second house, which is a house, it's a money house. So Jupiter often is improving the money situation, and your natal Jupiter is sitting here as well. So you're about to have a Jupiter return, which sets you up for a new 12-year cycle of growth. And so as I look at that, it's probably going to begin at around the first of the year, and then Jupiter will retrograde and come backwards from that spot and then go back forward over it as we get into the spring. So this may take a little bit of time, but it's coming. So I don't want you to lose heart. And what you can do in the meantime is get some clarity on what it is you really want, right? What do I really want to do? And who do I really want to be? And do I really want to work? I mean, if you have to work, that's one thing. But yeah, exactly. No, you don't really want to work.
No, I want to play. I want to play and get paid for it. How does that sound?
I think that's fabulous. You know, so what is it you like to play at? Because there's no reason why you can't create an income from what you love to do. There's no reason why you have to settle for anything that is of drudgery or just because it makes a good paycheck.
Yeah.
That actually does not lead to happiness. And I want you to be happy, right? I want you to be happy. You have really good energy here in this chart, and you deserve to be happy. Not because of your chart, but because you're a human being, you deserve to have everything you want. So get clear. What do I want? You, by the way, have the sun, the moon, Uranus, and Mercury all in the 11th house of wishes and dreams, goals and aspirations. So the only thing that would ever hold you back in this, Gigi, is what do you believe is possible for yourself? That's the question. In fact, I think that's a question for a lot of people because we seem to hold ourselves to these little boxes, these little containers. And those containers have names on them like, I can only do this, or I can't do that, or I can only, you know, I have to earn this amount of money. And all of those things are not necessarily true. So really look at what your truths are right now. In fact, I was just getting ready to write an article this week. And in it, I recognized that for the foreseeable future, all the way up to the beginning of the year, the inner planets, so we're talking the Sun and Mercury, Venus, and Mars, which are the ones that really affect us the most, are all in the signs of Sagittarius, Capricorn, and Aquarius. And if I put a word to those three signs to get a theme, the theme is freedom. Freedom of truth, or the lack of it, as we deal with Sagittarius. Freedom of authenticity or integrity as we deal with Capricorn or the lack of it. And of course, Aquarius, the freedom to be unique or not based on what you believe is true for yourself. So our focus with these inner planets is all about this idea of freedom and the freedom to be who we want to be. And when I look at the word, let's just deal with Capricorn because I like to pick on Jason, that of being in integrity. Do you know what I mean when I say integrity? I'm not talking about this. I'm not talking about a moralistic viewpoint. I'm not talking about being moralistic at all. I'm talking about being true to you.
To yourself.
What is true to you?
Exactly.
So
that's where I'm at, Janet. That's exactly where I'm at.
Well, let me look at the chart then for real quickly. And those houses that are going to be affected by that for you personally are all the houses like home, family, tradition, joy, creativity, and play, right?
Yeah.
So those are the areas that you're looking at. So I want you to be very aware that you create your reality. So look at what your outer world is showing you, and that's what you've created. If you don't like it, change it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm bursting at the seams here. So,
okay.
I have, before I go on, because I've already pulled three cards on you, very often, Gigi, I've heard from Janet, you know, when we discuss in my human design coaching, which if you've never done a human design coaching, I'm going to tell you it will change the way you think and operate. But that being said, I will give you the reading, but I want to ask a couple quick questions. Have you enjoyed being a nanny, and is this something that you would love to do in maybe a different capacity going forward?
No, not really. I have other aspirations. And I have, to answer your first part of your question, I have enjoyed it because I do love children, and I especially love the children that I was linked up with. I feel there's definite purpose.
So I'm going to give you one of the things that Janet talks about is that when certain people come into your auric field, but for me it's about speaking. When it's over the phone, I have to hear the energy. That certain people's energies complete other people's energies, and they do a turn-on, turn-off thing. I don't always say that I can read everybody, but some people get me open. When you started talking, I felt open. So here is my psychic vibe on you. Here are my cards for you. I want you to literally sit down and write a nanny's manual. You have an excellent reputation. The Ace of Wands comes in. You've never been written up. You've never had a problem. You have been an exceptional godmother to these children, a mother of God. I'm showing you the Ace of Wands in the past, which is, I'll bet you, you are a I bet you you're a pisser. I bet you you have a mouth on you, and you have love and strength. Yep, I'll bet you,
those
you have love.
Those kids love me. The daughter just loves me. She's so self-expressive with me.
So, in the past, it shows that you're being guided by the eye of God, by Mother Nature, by all of these things. Now, in the present, you have the Six of Swords. Now, this is the card that I get for IT people, technical people, people with left-side-brained mentalities, people working in the sciences. Now, no disrespect, darling, but that doesn't sound like you at all. But what this card in this position with these two flanking cards means to me is you need to get your ass in gear, sit yourself down, and you're going to set yourself your alarm clock to write 1 hour a day, and you're going to put an outline out there. I want you to go to Barnes & Noble or whatever it is, and I want you to look at other books that have been written about nannies. I'll bet you there are hardly any good, no bare bones, no bullshit books out there that really talk about, hey, what do you need to be a real nanny? I want you to write yourself an outline. I want you to write a manual. And then I want you to get it out there, because the last card that I picked is the two, the priestess. And I've shown, if you look on the human design, Facebook that Janet has, I've done a video with it. It is this incredible card that basically shows a female Shiva, and she is in a field of flowers, and she is happy, and she's got all of these arms coming off her, and she has a lot of free time. She gets to do what she wants, when she wants to, whenever she wants to. I want you to know that within the next, I'm sorry that you feel like, oh, I'm 58 or whatever the hell your age is, and I don't want to work. Well, let me tell you something. Within the next two years, if you get this book up and running, this manual at least up and running, you will be able to start your own nanny consultant business where you can consult other nannies.
because they need an older godmother like you to tell them what the hell is up with the ins and outs and the tricks of the trade. Because I want to tell you, I very often see parents screwing up left and right, and nobody really can write a book about it, but I feel that you can. So
wow.
My advice to you is sit down, write a manual, and get yourself out there to do consultancy work with not only with parents, but with other nannies. And I have a feeling
I love
you're going to have a lot of time to do what you want to do, and you can also charge top damn dollar. And use the expertise. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You've had years to cultivate this ability to work with children, to know how to relate to children, to be able to discipline children and set their parameters. So please, do me a favor. Don't all of a sudden at 58, and I mean, I'm sure some people listening to this will be like, oh, Jason, you shouldn't have said that. Well, screw them.
No,
the matter is I want you to take the knowledge base that you have, the love of children that you have, and now bring it up a notch. How nice it would be throughout your 60s to make good coin and to be even more respected, doing something that is an incredible service to our society. We need good mothers. We need good nannies. Without them, mankind dies.
Mm-hmm. Right. Love it.
Mm.
Well, there you go. There you go, Gigi.
Wow. That's pretty powerful. Thank you so much, both of you. Have really given me some really great thoughts to just go forward.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
My
the most
pleasure.
Important
you know
thing is for you to keep your mind on what you want and not on what you think you don't want. That's
exactly.
That's going to be the killer.
Yeah. Janet, I have your email address, and also, Jason, would you mind giving me yours one more time?
Absolutely. It is zenstaging, ZENSTAGING, one word, at gmail.com.
Okay, perfect. All right, I'll be in touch. Thank you.
I'm going to put you back in the queue, Gigi. Now tell me, Ms. Janet, who would you like to speak with next?
I'm just going to go down the queue here and see who's still here with us. Sandra, are you there?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
What can we do for you today, Sandra?
Sorry, I don't have such a great voice.
Oh, it's okay. We'll try to keep you not talking and us talking.
So in a nutshell, I had a really negative experience today at work with one of the owners, the son-in-law of the owner, and he just flipped out on me, started yelling at me, basically belittling me, went as far as to, you know, tell me that, you know, he can have me out of there whenever he wants. And really, the situation, his response was very, very,
He was having a bad day.
Yeah, obviously, he was having a bad day. He took it out on me completely, but I just can't deal with this anymore in this industry or in this place. I'm not used to this kind of interactions. With my companies, and I've never really had these kind of interactions. So I guess I really want to know about work, like looking towards something else, because I'm finding this very negative. I'm a sensitive person, and I just think that it felt very soul-crushing for me today, obviously.
All right. And Jason, do you want to take this one? Are you pulling cards?
Yes. I am. Okay. Here we go. I'm going to throw some shit out there, and you're going to tell me whether I'm on the mark or not. Okay, darling?
Sure.
Okay. Seven of Wands comes up in the immediate past, and it shows basically somebody who's had to have a lot of courage, who's had to have a lot of stamina, Leo-like energy, to get through what she has been dealing with. Now, I look at this and I think to myself, gosh, she is not giving herself credit. She might be sensitive, but she is so much stronger than she has a clue.
I know I'm strong. I do know that, but I also
realize
when I have a limit.
Have you been, How long have you, just take a breath, darling. How long have you been at this job?
It's literally been like a couple of days past 3 months. I just made my 90 days.
Okay. And
this is the second boss that has flipped out on me, not to the this extent. He took it way personal. Don't know why. And I work with him in the room, and we generally have a very congenial relationship. So it was very surprising.
So this is going to be a little bit of cold comfort. So take it for what it's worth.
Right.
The card at so it looks okay. So I'm sitting here like, oh, that's interesting. You've only been there, right? Check it out, Janet. Right? She's only been there 3 or 4 months, and she's already had burnings. She's already had burnings there with another schmuck. Okay. So now she has someone immediately today, which is in the immediate past, which is the Seven of Wands, having to be courageous. Now, I think anybody's going to tell you, you don't have to be psychic to hear this, that, you know, it takes a minimum of 3 months to really settle into a job. So first things first, try to have a little more of a crocodile skin about this, because the card, if I could afford you with any understanding, the card that I've picked at present is a very interesting card. It's a Six of Discs, and what it talks about is past life involvement.
With this particular person?
Persons. So now I want you to hear the macrocosmic message here.
Sure.
There are, keep breathing with me, sweetness. It isn't all for shit. Trust me. Trust me when I tell you this is not forever. Now, when you think about the millions of souls, the billions of souls in this world, and if you subscribe, you know, like Janet and I and any other metaphysical soul, that we come back lifetime after lifetime for the purpose of knowledge and love,
yes,
for experience, so that we can become like all that is, isness, God, whatever word you want to dirty it with. The fact of the matter is that you have chosen X amount, small, very infinitely small amount of souls to incarnate with. So you've chosen X amount of people to be in your family. And now, at this juncture, you have chosen X amount of people to be involved with in your work scenario. Fact of the matter is we very rarely come across new ones. We generally come across ones that we have had in the past before. So I want you to understand these are past lifetime involvements, the individuals that you have around you right now. And what does that mean? It is cold comfort. It means that there's a whole bunch of past lifetime crap going on between you and these people. What does that mean? It could mean that you were a real son of a bitch to these people in a prior lifetime, and now you're tipping the scales to get even again. Now you have to learn the lesson of having to be raged upon and see how it feels, because you were once perhaps the rager. Now, I told you this is going to be cold comfort. However, a wonderful thing is in store for you, and I really do want you to contact us in the future. And I'm going to say within the next 4 months, not even 4 weeks, but 4 months. The card, the Four of Swords, comes up. May I ask you, are you working in this company closely with three other people in particular?
There are three bosses, and I work with them closely.
And you are assisting all of them?
Yeah. The job that I'm in is kind of like the nucleus of the organization, okay, and everything kind of comes through me and one other person.
All right. So listen. I need you to promise me that you do one thing. I want you to write on a sticky. I want you to put it on your screensaver. Do not take it personally. Do not take any of this. Do not. That will be half the battle here. I will tell you that there are some immature energies happening here that are not quite developed. But the wonderful thing about your future at this place is that this past lifetime involvement will resolve itself. And the Four of Swords, which is the community card, everyone working together. But they're swords. They're clanging together, and they're going to make some noise. It's not going to be a cakewalk, but it's also not going to be terrible because the card shows people evening things out, working things out, and working together in harmony. So do me a favor. Definitely take baby steps. This is the beginning part of the relationship. It can be tricky at times. It can be clumsy at times. But you cannot take these people personally. This is work. But it feels personal because of your past lifetime involvement with them.
Well, I think it felt personal because he made it personal. He attacked me personally, on top of cursing at me, which I was just like, holy shit. I mean, this guy, he went crazy. And
I
am somebody who has a little bit of a thicker skin. I am sensitive, but it just didn't
In any other corporation, you would go to human resources and you would report that kind of behavior.
No,
so, I mean,
honestly, if I was feeling better about myself, I would have walked the hell out and told him to go stick it. That's what I really would have done. That's who I really am inside. But because I need this job, I'm stuck here
now. But the insight that I'm trying to give you is that because it is past lifetime karmic crap, you have brought this stuff to you to learn something.
Right.
Nobody should be cursed at work. Nobody should be sexually assaulted at work, any of those things. However, what I'm trying to give you some keyhole piece into is this is past lifetime stuff. You're making up for karmic debt. If you don't like it, change it, obviously. But I see things evening out with these three. It's the Four of Swords, which means four major equal entities coming together to work together. That these are growing pains, and unfortunately not everybody has the social skill set that you do. So I want you to not take it personally. There are assholes everywhere. But you're gonna have to, like Shakespeare said, suffer fools gladly. Or get your resume back out there. If you still see that things are not going better, get your resume back out there and start interviewing and change your life. But I want to tell you, this card in the future says that things will even out. Okay?
Sandra. Even out and be better for me in some kind of way? I mean,
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
I'm sorry. My voice is really bad. Even
no
out
problem.
And be better for me after this evens out? I mean, will I have a future here in some way? Because when someone pulls the I am the boss card and I can get rid of you whenever I want, that doesn't make me feel very stable. And I need security in where I'm working, especially when I put in, you know, I put in a lot of effort in what I do. And this person has recognized me from the beginning and said, you are doing an excellent job. So for him to attack me the way he did today was extremely surprising.
So I'm hoping then, out of what just came out of your mouth, that you're hearing what I'm saying, not take it personal. This is about him. This is about him.
I know it's about him.
So take the high road. Just let it roll off your back. If this kind of abuse continues, obviously get rid of it. But I'm trying to tell you that the card says, and my feelings are, that these things will even out, and it will not be like this.
Okay.
So
those
are my thoughts to you. I don't know what Janet will add to this, but I want you to know that it's hardcore in these cards. This is the only past lifetime card that comes up. So.
Mm. Yeah. I know past lives are generally difficult, and I do believe in them. And actually, when I came home, I thought to myself, like, what am I learning from this? You know, this obviously.
That's a great question.
You know,
great question.
And I did think about that. I'm not, you know, someone who doesn't look past just what happened. Obviously, something got triggered. I don't know what. Maybe he lost somebody in a situation.
Yeah.
But the conversation that I was having was not even with him. He just jumped in and got very offended.
Okay, so look, I just pulled one more card. I just pulled one more card, and to wrap things up for you, darling, it's the Magician card, which means you have everything you need to succeed. You have all the tools If you want to change jobs, you can do that. I just want you to know you are not at a deficit. This was not about you. Do not take it personal. If you feel that you can't handle these idiots, move on.
Okay.
But I see things evening out, so please, just let it go.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes, thank you.
Awesome.
Sandra, is your birthday in March?
Yes.
March 2nd,
yes.
69? So,
yes.
I mean, out of all the hundreds of people I have in this program, why I pulled this one for you, I don't know why. But
okay.
There is some seemingly unconscious stuff going on here. Uranus is involved. And when Uranus is involved, it is explosive. It comes out of left field. You don't see it coming. And it, of course, is happening on top of in your 12th house, which is the house that remains hidden from us. So there's something here mirroring something to you. Or you were, God help you, the karmic mirror for someone else. And whatever that means, you may not have access to. And I'm not sure it's necessary for you to even understand what that is. But how do you want to see this come out? How do you, because you're the creator of this reality, don't undersell yourself here. And in a way, you helped create this issue. So how do you want it to be settled? And you can think about that tonight. How do you want it to go tomorrow when you go into work? Claim that. Right. And the claiming could be like this. I want this man to realize that he hurt my feelings and that he is going to apologize and we're going to have a peaceful relationship from here. Whatever it is that you want from this, you're going to claim it. I've done this before and had exceptional luck with that actual way of doing things. And only this was on the phone with a company that was causing me problems. And while they put me on hold, I sat there and said, okay, Janet, how do you want this to turn out? What do you want to see as the result of this? And I created from that the exact same things that I had asked for. I wanted an apology. I wanted them to right the wrong. I wanted them to tell me how it is we could avoid this in the future, et cetera, et cetera. So you can do the same thing. How do you want this to be? What do you want the solution to be? Don't give the power away.
I'd love an apology, but I don't think that he is, you know, that grown to do such. But
well,
I don't know.
I mean,
I will think about it, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. No, and I don't. It's not so much thinking. It's like, what do you want? What do I want? Well, I want this man to say, look, I blew it yesterday. I'm so sorry. And I want him to tell me it'll never happen again. And it should never have happened in the first place. Whatever it is that you want from it. But as long as you think that that's not going to happen, then you've already created the result.
Yeah, there's some sort of strange entitlement with these people that they feel that because they're the owners of the company and it's a family business that they are just entitled to treat people poorly. And I'm just not into that at all.
Yeah. So I think you want them to wake up. I think that's maybe where it goes.
Yeah.
To wake up to their behavior and how it's not appropriate.
No, it's really not appropriate.
Yeah.
And I've worked for tough bosses, but I've never really had, I guess, this kind of scenario. It's not a very professional industry or organization. So I expected that there was going to be some of this, but I've just found that because I'm the only woman that's downstairs filled with a male-dominated industry, that I seem to be a bit of a scapegoat for them. Do you know what I mean? When things go wrong. And I find it interesting because I've brought so much accountability to what I do and to not only the invoicing, but all these different areas, which they're all so pleased with, but they're all so quick to jump and jump on me, I guess, because, I don't know, maybe I'm new, maybe it's past life, maybe whatever.
Well, in my way, if something like that were to happen to me, I would take that responsibility and I would say, what is this mirroring to me? When has this happened to me in my life before? And how does it make me feel? And what am I going to do about it? And because ultimately it is your responsibility.
Right. feel like what Jason said prior about being, you know, strong and a trailblazer and being courageous does make sense. I have mm-hmm. worked in other areas where I was the only, you know, the only salesperson
mm-hmm.
where everyone else was a male and I was a female. So I have had this dichotomy before.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, honey, I know your voice is
Thank
going,
you.
So I'm going to let you
yeah,
go, but
I appreciate it.
Just keep your chin up and
yes.
claim to the universe how you want this to end. How do you want
yep.
this to be taken care of?
I'll be
All right.
doing that tonight. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for your time.
You're most welcome. Take care. Good luck.
Good night.
Good night.
All right.
Okay, let's see. Who else do we have here? We still have Shannon listening, and everybody
no.
else is gone?
Yeah, everybody else is gone. We're done, lady.
Okay, we are done. So thank you so much for hanging in there, Jason.
No problem. I'm going to call you right back. I have a couple things I wanted to run by you real quick.
Okay, sounds good.
All righty.
Bye.